Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
We are back, and you are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are talking with Dr. Megan Clark about solidarity and subsidiarity in Catholic social teaching and how that plays out in our lives and in politics. And we invite you to call in and give your thoughts on that at 888-322-8465. That's 888-322-8465. You can also tweet at us. Father Malone's handle is at America Editor. And you can tweet at me at Carrie Weber, or at Carrie underscore Weber. K-E-R-R-Y-W-E-B-E-R. So, Dr. Clark, we've been talking about solidarity, as we mentioned, and, you know, this is clearly something that we're all striving for, but how do we exactly go about really recognizing that in other people? I think it's interesting. One of the things that a lot of young people try to do is go on service trips, is go to a different country and sort of experience the lives of people in poverty, experience an attempt at serving those people. And sometimes those trips can be criticized for people sort of parachuting in and kind of doing something and leaving. And how do we make sure that when we're serving others, when we're trying to build systems or societies that are in service to people, that we are doing it in solidarity and that we're doing it with that dignity in mind?
I think one of the challenges is solidarity requires vulnerability. Mm. If I'm not open to being affected by your life, your reality, your questions, your pain, your suffering, as well as your joys, then solidarity is not possible. Mm-hmm. I can't have a relationship of solidarity if I'm walled off. One of the challenges in terms of service trips and these kinds of things is having the right kind of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes there's kind of this high that comes from helping people.
Sure.
And
sure.
On some level, that's not a bad thing, but it can also kind of be a way of trying to enter into someone else's vulnerability without it being critical, without it maybe touching you other than to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Because you helped. Mm-hmm. And I was a faculty member on a student-led trip to Costa Rica with this great group of students, and we were building a house. And the house was the site, everything was chosen by the local community. Mm-hmm. And we basically were invited into their community. All the women and children on the block were out and engaging with us each day, but we were the ones physically building a house of concrete without any power tools. And so it's in the Costa Rican sun. So difficult work. And what struck me is how often students, because of their desire to help, will get so laser focused on, okay, we have to finish this, right, that they didn't want to take a break to eat, that they were very uncomfortable taking papayas that the local women had bought off of the fruit truck that drove through, because they were still separating off the I can't take from them because I'm not poor and they are. But the reality is that the things that made my students struggle the most were the things that made solidarity possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was being invited into their home, into their community. Mm-hmm. And that had to mean that we also looked back on what was going on in our own. The danger, one of the things when I teach, because I've taught global service learning in Paris as well in a class, is that what we did was we looked at homelessness in New York and did service learning looking at homelessness in New York. And then when we were in Paris, we met with someone from Caritas France and looked at, well, what is poverty in France? What is poverty? Right. What does homelessness look like in Paris before going out? So that to try and bridge that gap so that you're not entering into a reality in which you don't see your own equal humanity as the starting point.
Right.
Because it seems too different.
Right. Well, you can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. How do you think that Catholic teaching should play out in policy and politics? One of the things that that I remember when I was a Jesuit novice and I was sent to South America for 6 months to live in the missions, I was told by my novice master, you know, you are not going there to bring them God, right? And you are not going there to find yourself. You are going there to find God, and he's already there, and you're right? And they're going to show you him, his face, right? And that was just a fundamentally different way of approaching the experience, right? And of course, isn't that part of that vulnerability? Like, is the recognition this isn't all about me, right? That there's an us, there's a we involved here. But how does that actually play out practically in our conversations as apolis, right? And I mean, you know, it seems like the mechanisms that we have for our public conversation, you know, are not conducive to, you know, allowing for that kind of vulnerability, that kind of that level of engagement, that kind of depth, the kind of thing that we saw in Congressman Ryan and Kennedy.
Well, our God is a God of surprises, and there's not very much about our current political climate that leaves space for real surprises.
Mm-hmm.
In part because conversations like take place in this issue don't happen very often.
Right.
There's also in part because any sign of vulnerability is culturally taken as a weakness.
Right.
And until we dismantle that I have to be able to think from a different perspective, and that maybe there are questions I haven't even thought of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an attack. It's not a sign of weakness, that there's something wrong, but a sign that the diversity of our lives and our perspectives actually makes our community better. It makes our community stronger. And this is somewhere where, you know, if we take a real hard look at the church, we can learn a lot from it.
Right.
Because that unity in diversity, that our multiple perspectives and cultures and histories actually makes us a more vibrant people of God, makes us have more room for the God of surprises than if we were all the same.
And I think it makes us aware of our responsibility toward one another. And I think that's a key part in sort of how we consider policy today. Who are we responsible for as individuals, as families, as a country? And Congressman Kennedy writes in his article about his time in service in the Peace Corps in the Dominican Republic, and he writes that for many of the people that he worked with, that their poverty, and I'm quoting him here, their poverty was not by choice or even chance. It was a result of the system that had left them powerless. And
right.
I think a lot of times today, people are inclined to view people who are poor as, well, they didn't work hard enough, or they didn't do this or that, or it's their fault. It's not on me. It's on them. How do you think we go about sort of reforming the way we view how to help the poor and how we view sort of our collective responsibility?
The image of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps,
right,
of this, I can overcome anything, in many ways is probably the most contrary to Catholic social
right.
teaching element of kind of the American story, because it does just that. It makes it seem like people are late. You can blame them if
right.
they can't, and we don't take a look.
It also assumes you have boots.
It assumes, right? Yeah. It assumes right. you have boots. It assumes that everybody starts out in the same place. What I was most impressed by Congressman Kennedy's is that he understands social structures in the same way that the Pope understands social structures and is calling for us to change the way that we think about poverty. We don't take responsibility for the structures. And until that starts happening, until we realize that it's not about assigning blame or
right.
assigning guilt, but it's not an accident that the poor are stuck,
right?
Rather than, especially globally, while some, through accidents of birth, do not struggle at all.
Right, right. And the, you know, one question that I think people ask is, you know, who's doing this? Who's doing this really well on the ground? Are there organizations, are people who are really, you know, bringing this teaching in its most robust sense to our public conversation, to our politics and policy?
I'm a huge fan of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their groups right here in New York, in Porchester, between right on the border between New York and Connecticut, Don Bosco workers came into my class this week to talk about their wage theft campaign and their worker organizing center. They have about 200 members. They have made progress in getting back, I think the judgment was for $35,000 or $40,000 in lost wages by a restaurant owner in Porchester, that if she doesn't pay, she will face jail time. For a number of women who worked in the restaurant who did not have safe working conditions and whose wages were not being fairly, it just wasn't legal in how they were being treated.
Sure.
And the kind of the ability, they just had a solidarity walk and launched a new campaign in Porchester of really building a community in which those 200 members have security and a voice because they come together to stand up and say, well, no, we are human beings and we are entitled to the same protections and safe working conditions and basic wages as everybody else.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on Sirius XM, Channel 129. I'm Father Matt Malone, and we are joined by Paul in Missouri. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You have a question for Dr. Megan Clark?
I'm afraid it's more of a comment.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm driving, so I haven't been able to hear the whole program. But I'm a trade unionist, and in the labor movement, solidarity is power. The workers sticking together behind their representatives, whether they be a shop steward or a paid union rep, causes the boss to come to the table and deal with the issues that the workers have. I personally have a little trouble understanding the idea of solidarity with people in. It's not that I don't support programs to support the poor, and I would help them. I would march in parades and demonstrations and so forth, but I don't understand the solidarity because I'm so used to where. It's solidarity is a method for compelling the boss to come to the table.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting point, Paul. Thank you, and thank you for your call, Dr. Clark. What we've been talking about is proceeding from a place of powerlessness, right? Of kind of vulnerability, and Paul saying, you know, look, the world is shaped by power politics in some sense. What do you think?
I think it's interesting that the first question makes a connection with labor, particularly because for Catholic social thought, it's the question of workers that starts what we know as the modern Catholic social thought tradition. I think what he points to in terms of solidarity is kind of the people's power in that sense, really points to the fact that for Catholics, we are greater together than we are individuals, and that when we work together as a community, that the common good isn't simply the sum of its parts. The human community, the one human family, we're not just the sum of our parts, that we are greater. There's something greater in the whole that isn't just let's add up everyone.
Right.
And I think
we're
that
a body. Right.
We are a body. And I think that at its best, community organizing and labor movements and civil rights movements and all of these things demonstrate that ability to kind of not just bring people together, but form a community in which there is collective action.
Right.
And so in that sense, for Catholic social thought, it is a social virtue. And so we, as in each of our communities, can either be moving more towards that or farther away. The trick is that everybody has to have a voice if it's going to be solidarity.
Right.
You can't achieve solidarity by pushing out or running over anybody's human dignity in the process.
Right. Well, we are almost out of time, but the book is called The Vision of Catholic Social Thought, The Virtue of Solidarity and the Praxis of Human Rights. And the author is Dr. Megan Clark, who has joined us here this week. And where can people find the book?
It is from Fortress Press, and they can find it on Amazon or in other bookstores.
And how can they find you?
Oh, I can be found on Twitter at Dr. Clark M1.
Okay.
As well as My faculty page at St. John's University gives my email, which is clarkm1@stjohns.edu. But I can be found easily on Twitter as well.
Terrific. Well, thank you for being here. And
thank you for having me.
It's been a terrific conversation. I'm sure enlightening for our listeners.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.